There's an old song that has the words, "Because He lives, I can face tomorrow." And that really is what the Easter resurrection message boils down to. Because of what God accomplished through Jesus Christ, because He lives, we can face tomorrow. I really don't know why it's been so, but over the last 3-4 weeks, God's had me personally in a place with everything that's going on, reminding me of the trials and the pain and the grief that so many people are facing and struggling with. And so, as Mike referred to at Wednesday night at 7 p.m. in our Bible devotionals online, that's where I have been teaching out of. And this morning, as we come to celebrate the greatest achievement in the world, that is Jesus Christ resurrected from the dead, what I want to say to you this morning in the same line of thought of the trials that you will face in this world, no matter what they may be, no matter what may come, because Jesus Christ lives, you and I, believers, can face tomorrow. It doesn't mean it will always be easy, but it is a fact. It is a truth. It is a thus saith the Lord. There is power in the resurrection of Jesus Christ, our Lord, and the promise He gives us in this life is because He lives, we can face tomorrow. I think about goodbyes. Goodbyes sometimes can be easy. Sometimes goodbyes or so longs can be difficult. But whenever we face a permanent goodbye or a permanent so long in this world, as we lose someone that we love, that's not so easy. And it's with that I say to you, as a believer, as a follower of Jesus Christ, you don't ever have to say goodbye. Jesus talking to His disciples, telling them that He is going to be leaving this world, reminding them that He's not going to leave them as orphans, emphasizing that He's going to send the Holy Spirit to comfort them, says, "Yes, I am going away for a while, but I will come back." And He says this very important truth in John chapter 14, verse 19. "Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me because I live. So shall you live." This is a promise to Jesus, to His immediate disciples. But it also has relevance for our lives as well. A few years ago, Danielle and I were trying to decide, whenever we are buried, what do we want to have on our tombstone inscription? And we were reading and looking, and it took a while, but one evening, she happened to come across the text and said, "This is it." And I thought, "Danielle, that's brilliant." And we'll talk about this thought a little bit later, but it is Jesus saying to His disciples, "In a little while, you will see me no longer. But after a little while, you will see me again." And we wanted an inscription when the time came on our tombstone that if our children were to visit it, that they would read it and be reminded of this promise of Jesus Christ, "Because I live, so too shall you live." And while Jesus is saying in this text of John that in a little while I'll be gone, but in a little while you'll see me again, is a reality for each and every believer that will ever live. I may die at some point, whenever that will be, and I will leave this world, or the same is true of Danielle. But the promise of Jesus to me and the promise of Jesus to my loved ones and the promise to Jesus to you is in a little while, you will see them again. We have celebrated and commemorated Good Friday. Good Friday is called Good Friday because it's good for us. Because Jesus died as he was crucified on the cross at 9 a.m. on Friday morning, providing the atonement and forgiveness of sin for the world. He was the one perfect sacrifice that offers through his blood forgiveness of sin. And we reflected on what he had done for us and the great love of the Son and the Father. And we look at that time and we are so grateful and so thankful. But that was the time that Jesus was saying to his disciples, "Before long, you won't see me, but I'm coming back and you will see me again." Just 3 days later, on Sunday morning, at dawn, while it was still dark, the resurrection of Jesus Christ took place, and the tomb was empty. And our Lord, through the power of God, raised him from the dead, and that changed everything. That changed the permanent goodbye, the permanent so long to a, "In a little while, you will see me again." Now, why this is important to us, to the believer, is because we know in this life we will have trials. And some of the most difficult trials you will ever face is losing the one that you love. Maybe right now you're sitting in your house by your wife. Well, take her by the hand. Wrap your arm around her and love her while she's here with you. Maybe you're with your grandchildren. Maybe you're with your parents. It doesn't really matter, but we want to take every advantage in this life to love them and to reflect how much we care by the words and the attitudes and actions that we have towards them. But I am telling you, you will lose people you love. They will die. They will get sick. They will pass from this life. And I'm telling you something else. It is why it is important that they accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. The resurrection of Jesus is the hope of eternal life. It is the hope that after a little while we will see our loved ones again. So we celebrate a promise that comes from our Lord, a promise that comes from the Father Almighty, that if we will but believe and faithfully devote our lives to Jesus Christ in obedience and surrender and sacrifice, even though we lose people that we love in this life, we will see them again in a little while. I've lost people, and I know if you've not lost somebody, you will, but I'm pretty sure that most listening now, you've lost someone that you love. Jesus reassures us through the resurrection that you will see them again. And I praise him for the hope that he has given us in that. In John chapter 20, if you have your Bibles with you, just flip over and look at verse 1 with me. We see in John chapter 20, it says, "Early on the first day of the week," that is Sunday, "while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance." Whenever I look at this verse or other gospels that talk about on the first day of the week, my mind immediately goes to that saying that we hear every Good Friday. Well, it's Friday, but Sunday is coming. And that's what this verse represents to me. On the first day of the week, Sunday is here. It has arrived, and the tomb is rolled away, and the tomb is empty. And here again, from Good Friday to the Resurrection Sunday, we have grief and sadness and mourning at the loss of the loved one. But here we have resurrection and the promise of hope of Jesus Christ to us all. But in verse 2 through 10, those nine verses, what we have is Mary Magdalene goes to the tomb. She loved Jesus. And when she gets there, she sees that the stone is rolled away. And she runs back and finds Peter and John. And she says, the stone has been rolled away. The body is gone. And immediately, John and Peter run out of the door of the house that they're staying in. And John outruns Peter. But when John gets to the tomb, he stops. And Peter finally catches up with him, and it says Peter went straight in. And Peter sees the grave clothes. And then John comes in. They see the grave clothes. They see the body is gone. And then they come out and go back to where they were staying. But Mary Magdalene, she stays there. And you find in verse 11 through 16, I think, the reality of life, that in this world you will have grief and you will suffer loss, and that will bring tears and sadness in your heart. Follow along with me at verse 11. Now Mary stood outside the tomb crying. Crying because she loved Jesus. Crying because she was there watching when they crucified him. She was there when he breathed his last and bowed his head and gave up his spirit and said, "It's finished." She loved him for what he had done in her life, the forgiveness and love that he had shown her. And we see there she stands all by herself at that empty tomb, and she is crying. Crying because Jesus is dead. It says, as she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb. And she sees two angels in white seated there where the body of Jesus had been. One at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" Now, I don't know the answer. I don't think anybody really knows the answer other than she's crying because Jesus is dead. She's crying because someone that she loves is gone, and in her mind, they are permanently gone. But the angels still ask the question. The question that they knew the answer to. Why are you crying? I think about when I lost my dad and my mom. If someone said, "Patrick, why are you crying?" I would have looked at them like, "Do you not get it? Do you not understand?" It's because I've lost them. And the relationship now has been severed. I'll never see them in this life again. That's why I'm crying. And she says, the reason I'm crying is they have taken my Lord away. Jesus was still Mary Magdalene's Lord. Now, it's true that the disciples did not understand the depth of what Jesus meant by his saying, "I am going to leave and I'm going to return," even though he reinforced that teaching that he would rise from the dead. And it's true that Mary and other people in Scripture did not grasp the full concept of what Jesus was saying, that "I am life and I am eternal life." But Jesus was still her Lord, although she was confused and hurting. They've taken my Lord, and I don't know where they have put the body. At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there. But she did not realize it was Jesus. There's another one of those questions. Why didn't she realize it? Well, we'll never have all those answers. We can speculate. We can have conjecture. But she did not recognize that it was Jesus. Maybe Jesus kept her from recognizing. We don't know. But she did not recognize it was Jesus. And he asked her, "Woman, why are you crying? Do you catch what is going on? The angels say to Mary, why are you crying?" And then she sees Jesus as the gardener, and he says to her, "Why are you crying?" And she says, after he asks who she's looking for, she says, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him." You know, you try to put yourself there. If this was happening to someone that you loved, if you went to a tomb, a cemetery, a graveside to mourn the loss of the person you loved, and when you got there, their body was gone, you would just like, "What's happened? You know, where is it? What have you done with him, her? I want to find him and put things back in its right place in honor and love." But what's clear is that Mary is crying in grief because Jesus was dead. But it's what happens in verse 16 that we see this wonderful transition. Jesus said to her, "Mary." I don't know, that really hits me down deep in the gut and makes me emotional. Initially he says, "Woman, why are you crying?" And she shares this personal thought with this man that she considers to be the gardener, not knowing it's Jesus, and says, "My Lord, I love him. They've taken him. He's not here. And I've got to find him and I've got to bring him back." And I would think that would have touched Jesus as well, to see the devotion that Mary Magdalene had to her Lord. But then Jesus changes the wording from "woman" and makes it more personal and says, "Mary." And it's when he says "Mary" that her heart and her eyes are open, and she cries out again, but this time not a cry of grief or a cry of sadness because Jesus is dead, but this is a cry of "Teacher," of "Rabboni, it's you." And in the words without being spoken, "You are before me and alive." You see, in this life there is the cry of loss and death, but Jesus, through his resurrection and in the life of Mary Magdalene, his disciples, the early Christians, and in your life and my life, and all of those who would believe in Jesus and confess his name and believe that God raised him from the dead, this is the picture of, before long, the world will not see me, but you will see me again in a little while. And we praise God for that on an emotional level, on a mental level, and on a spiritual level. Because he lives, we can face tomorrow. We don't have to look at death in terms of fear, although we struggle with it. We don't look at death like the rest of the world looks at death. We have a confidence that comes from Christ through the promises of Jesus Christ himself, that because he lives, we can face whatever comes today or tomorrow or the next day, because he has conquered death, and we share in that wonderful spiritual blessing. So this morning, I'd like to ask you to ask yourself, do you believe in Jesus Christ? I'm not trying to manipulate you. I'm not trying to shove you in a corner and make you believe something, because I can't make you believe anything. If the Spirit of God that goes out into the world to convict the world in regards to sin and righteousness doesn't touch your heart, you'll never believe. But I hope and I pray that as you hear online today and on TV and on other online services where the gospel is being preached, that you would fall to your knees and raise your hands and ask God to come into your life, to touch your spirit, because Jesus is pictured in Scripture as knocking on the door of your heart, wanting to come in and make His home with you. Now, the hard reality, a sobering reality right here is, if you don't make this personal decision, if you don't answer the question of, yes, I believe, you're lost. And you're separated from God for eternity. And the only thing that can change that is you submitting and surrendering your life to the Holy Spirit and finding salvation. And then you can say, no matter what comes tomorrow, because Jesus lives, I can face whatever tomorrow brings. And that's the hope of the Easter message. That is the hope, the emphasis of God. It is the cross of Christ that is the pulpit for proclaiming grace and forgiveness of sin through the blood of Jesus. Behind me you see our old rugged cross. And you see it has the message of hope because Jesus Christ gives hope. Mary Magdalene is an example of one like us today who cries over loss and death. But she's also the example of the Christian faith that cries as well in rejoicing in the resurrection and eternal life. And we thank God for that. A little bit later in John 16, Verse 16, Jesus was talking to his disciples, telling them that he's going to leave. This is what I referred to a little bit earlier. And he says, in a little while, you will see me no more. And then after a little while, you will see me again. That promise is for you, my friends. That promise is for you, my brothers and sisters in Christ. Jesus is coming back. Jesus will return. Heaven will empty. The archangels will flow, and there will be multitudes and multitudes of angels. And I'm sure Michael and Gabriel will be right there with Jesus leading the way. And it's at that point, the Scriptures tell us, when He comes back, every knee is going to bow. Every knee is going to confess what? That Jesus is Lord. The believer will confess that. The unbeliever will confess that. Why wait to that time? Why wait to confess it when you're condemned? Why not fall on your knees and bow your head and confess the name of Jesus Christ now with your heart? I pray that you will do that because He's coming back, and we want to be ready when He's coming back. In John 16, verse 20, it says, "Very truly, I tell you, you will weep and mourn while the world rejoices." That's what He says to His disciples on that Good Friday. "You will grieve, but your grief will turn to joy." Isn't that a wonderful truth? For a while, we grieve, but our grief will turn to joy. And then Jesus says this. He says, when you see me again, you'll be so joyous. And no one will ever take that joy away from you. So no matter what Mary Magdalene faced in her life, she saw Jesus was alive. And don't you think she would say, because I know He lives, no matter what I face tomorrow, I can go on because I've seen the reality of the resurrection of the dead. Because He lives, we can face tomorrow. If Jesus hadn't resurrected from the dead, we are to be the most pitied of all people. But we know in our hearts that He did. And we celebrate that not just this Sunday morning, but every Sunday morning. But we do specially celebrate it on Easter Sunday. I know how some of the media was saying, you know, Easter is canceled for the first time. I received an email from a dear friend sort of chastising me a little bit about, you need to have the church open and people in service. But what people don't understand, whether we are here physically or whether we're in our homes, there is coming a time, Jesus said, that you won't worship on this mountain or you won't worship in Jerusalem. You will worship God in spirit and in truth. And for such a time as this, while we are separated, we worship God in spirit and in truth. But the reality is, Easter is not canceled. It is not within the power of feeble, weak man to cancel anything. Because Easter isn't about us gathering here in person at this site. Easter is about what God did through Jesus Christ in raising from the dead. And so we celebrate that reality and truth that we can worship God together wherever we may be and whenever we are apart. But I also hope that this experience of this pandemic that has us social distancing and has us basically locked in our houses will move each and every one of you that's associated with the Kentwood Christian Church or your church, wherever you are in the country, to never take again for granted the gift and the goodness of God that lets us assemble each and every Sunday and many other days to be together as His church. We have taken it for granted because we've taken God for granted. We've taken that reality for granted. And we've not been obedient and we've not been committed. And we have forsaken the gathering of God's people. And we gather because on that gathering we praise and we worship God in a unique way as the church family. And so as we close with this Easter sermon, the resurrection, I encourage you in time as we go forward to begin now to make deeper commitments that when God's church gathers wherever you may be, that you find yourself there, that you no longer make excuses, that you come before the Lord God Almighty with your brothers and sisters and worship Him. I can't close out an Easter sermon without quoting John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. May God's grace and spirit be heavy upon you to love Him more or turn your heart towards Him. And may you cry out, Teacher, Savior, save me. God bless you and happy Easter. And would you continue to worship with us.